It's time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Vintage Truth Podcast today, episode 191. And this little podcast is going to almost 70 different countries across the world. I told an audience last week that I get invitations to go to several different places all over the world, but I can't go there because of finances. They can't bring me and I can't afford to send me. And so sometimes the Vintage Truth Podcast is my way of getting to them, although there are many other ways that I'd like to go as well. But all that to say is when you come alongside this podcast, you are helping reach the world with the truth of Jesus Christ. And if you believe in this podcast and what I am doing here, I invite you without any hesitation to come alongside me financially and to support this podcast on a monthly basis. It's very easy to do. You just go to jeffkinley.com, you click on that donate tab, and then you decide whatever amount you'd like to support per month. You could set it up through there. Or if you'd still like to write a physical check or have your bank send a physical check, there's an address there listing my P.O. Box number on the website on that page as well. And you can send a check that way to support it. And what happens is, you know, that money is not magic money that floats to heaven. It helps me to fund broadcasting this ministry. And, you know, like right now, for example, there are on the website where these podcasts are hosted, I'm running out of space. And so I'm going to need at some point to upgrade yearly to another level of really unlimited data space to store these podcasts so that they don't get lost in cyberspace, so that they don't rotate off of the website. I use podomatic.com, and that's where you can go for the physical like places where these podcasts are stored. Of course, that enables iTunes to keep up with them and many other things like that. So anyway, all that to say is if you'd like to help support this ministry, it would greatly be appreciated. Hey, so one of the things we're talking about right now is this idea of defending the faith. And this is very important because today the faith is being attacked and the Bible's being attacked and what you believe is being attacked. And you know, people today are so motivated and persuaded by personal opinion. And it's not about what God says, it's really about what they believe. And that determines their reality in life. And we have to help recalibrate that because we're living in an age where it's like an alternate reality. And I don't know if you remember, some of you are probably old enough to remember way back in the 60s, there was this TV show called Green Acres. And the premise was that this attorney from New York City and his highfalutin wife, they moved to like nowhere, left this penthouse and went to this farmhouse, this rundown shack. And they lived in this place called Hooterville, and it was just a place run by imbeciles. I mean, everybody was living on a different plane than this attorney was, and he was the only sane one in the bunch. And when he would say things that made sense, everybody else wouldn't understand him. And that's kind of the reality that you and I are living in right now in the world, where we're speaking the truth and people are looking at us like we just dropped off a spaceship or something or came from another planet. And therefore, our faith is being attacked because of that. Now, in the book of Jude, and we're going to see if we can wrap up this little book today. In the book of Jude, he helps us. He is equipping us on how we can combat that type of thinking. And most of this thinking is coming from really a deceitful, depraved heart of humanity, or from Satan himself. And he kind of concludes this book. He begins in verse 17. He says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." And my friend, that is the doctrine. That's the truth that we stand on. We stand on the teaching and the foundation of the apostles. The apostles were those that that received direct revelation from Jesus. They witnessed, they were witness to the resurrected Christ. They were commissioned by Christ himself. And the apostles' teaching from Acts chapter 2 onward is what the church is founded upon. We have nothing else but the apostles' teaching and the Word of God to really be our foundation of what we believe. And when we stray from that, and when we go beyond that, when we get off that land, that reservation, guess what happens? We get into speculation and all types of endless, ridiculous belief systems. So he says, remember the words that were spoken by the apostles of Jesus. He says, they were saying to you, and listen to what the apostles say about what's going to happen in the last days. See if you think this lines up to where we are right now. He says, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. Hello, that's exactly where we are right now. Paul predicted in Acts chapter 20 with the Ephesian elders that there would be wolves sneaking into the church to take advantage of the sheep. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1, in the last days, men will fall away from the faith, paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and chapter 4 that in the last days that there would be lovers of self. And that's exactly what a lot of these false teachers are. They are lovers of themselves. They love themselves, and it's obvious just by the way they present themselves. They're all about themselves. He says in verse 19, these are the ones who cause divisions. They're worldly minded. They're devoid of the Spirit. And guess what? Listen, when he says cause divisions, he means that they're coming in to divide the body of Christ, not based on truth, because truth divides. You know, people say, well, that's a divisive argument, a divisive doctrine. Listen, sometimes truth will divide. That's okay. You want truth to divide the error and the falsehood from what is authentic to the Word of God. That's all right. But these people are causing divisions in the body of Christ based upon their errant doctrine. He says they're worldly minded. They're really all about this world. They're not really thinking about the world to come, as the Bible teaches. They're just thinking about how to get rich in this world, how to be wealthy in this world. I read of one of Trump's advisors, spiritual advisors, is this woman person who she claims to be claims to have received all these visions from God, and she is uber wealthy, worth millions and millions of dollars. In fact, she gave a Bentley car to another preacher as a birthday gift. This person is a false teacher, and she has the ear of the President of the United States. How sad is that? She's worldly minded. And though she says and claims she receives all these messages from the Spirit of God, my friend, she is devoid of the Spirit. She does not have the Spirit of God. She doesn't understand the Word of God, and she's propagating false teaching. He says, but you, beloved. So what are we supposed to do? He says, but you. Here's a stark contrast to people like that and people in the church today. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So that's the first thing. Together with other believers, not alone only, but in relationships with other believers, we are to build ourselves up, not in the sense that we are telling ourselves, oh, you're wonderful, you're worthy, you're okay. It's not that kind of build up. It's build up yourselves with what? In the faith. Where's the faith found? It's found in the Word. So you build up yourselves with the Word of God. And really, that's the value of prioritizing the nurturing of our faith above lesser things in this world. It's not to say we shouldn't do other things in the world. We shouldn't enjoy ourselves. We shouldn't do other things that take care of ourselves, but mainly to build up ourselves in the faith. If we do that, then these other things are going to take care of themselves. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other lesser things will be added to you. So the first thing we do is make sure we build ourselves up in the Word of God. So eat good food is what he's saying. Eat the food that is nutritious, and the best food that we have is the food of the Word of God. Oh, one quick word here, and I may have shared this verse in an earlier podcast, but this is so true. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You see, grace and peace doesn't just come as a magic thing to us. It's not some sort of mystical magic thing that comes as a result of, well, let's just say taking the Lord's Supper or going to church, even though those are wonderful things. And I do feel like that if we connect with God to the Lord's Supper. There is an experience of grace there. But he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord, and our Jesus our Lord. And then he explains that in verse 3 in 2 Peter 1, seeing that his divine power, do you want the power of God in your life? Listen to this. His divine power has granted to us, has given to us everything, everything pertaining to life and godliness. So if you want to have your best life now, how do you have that? Well, it's not through thinking positive thoughts about yourself or saying, man, I tell you, I'm just a son of the King. I ought to be experiencing all wonderful things in life because I belong to God. I'm going to think good thoughts about myself instead of negative thoughts. Hey, it's good to be positive. Don't get me wrong. But the key to life, the key to experiencing God's divine power is not simply by thinking positive thoughts. It says in this verse, he has given us, granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, everything we need in our lives in order to enjoy life, experience life, and to be godly is found how? How? Well, he's already told us. He's going to reiterate that this in the second part of verse 3. He says, we get these things, quote, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So if you want God's power in your life, if you want the wisdom to be able to discern and overcome and recognize these false teachers, guess what? It comes through the true knowledge of him. And he already said, through the knowledge of God. How does that come? Well, friend, it doesn't just come by just making up thoughts about God. We don't just make up our own theology. We don't just make up our own ideas about who God is and how he works and how he relates to us and all the. It's all found in the Bible. It's all found in the Word. So everything that I am geared up to do through my public teaching, through this teaching on this podcast, through my books, when I travel and when I speak, is to get you into the Word and get the Word into you. Why? The main reason is because only in the Bible do we hear the thoughts of God. Only in the Bible do we discern the desires of God's heart. Only in the Bible do we see the plan of God for not only our lives, but for the ages and for the earth and for eternity. We see it all mapped out in the Word of God. How do we know who God is? Through the Word. We don't just know it intuitively in our spirit. We know it through the Word. How do we know how to love? People say, well, gosh, if we just love each other, isn't that the greatest thing ever? Yeah, it's great. But how to love? With what? What is love? I mean, love is not love, as the world is telling us today. It's like if you love something, if you like something, if you desire something, if you lust after something, then that's love. No, no. The Bible doesn't say love is love. The Bible says God is love. So if you want to know what love is, you have to know who the biblical God is. And then through that, he will teach us how to love. And it teaches us how to do that in the Scripture. So build up yourselves in the most holy faith. That's verse 20. And then he says in verse 20 as well, he says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? Well, it means to align our desires with the desires of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we don't just come to God telling him everything that's on our hearts. Hey, listen, prayer is a great way to just dump all over God. Just dump your desires, your thoughts, your worries, your fears. And the Bible wants us to do that. Now, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Psalm 55, verse 12, cast your burden upon the Lord. 1 Peter 4, cast your burden on the Lord, for he cares for you. So yes, you bring everything to God. In fact, I would venture to tell you this. Don't hold anything back from God in prayer. And I mean anything. I mean, whatever it is in your mind that you need to let God know about, what's in your heart. Hey, he knows about it anyway, right? So why not just tell it to him? But your hurts, your desires, your wants, your needs, your worries, your fears, your anxieties. Hey, listen, there is nothing you can't tell Jesus. So please don't ever hold back. And really, therapeutically, psychologically, it's a great thing to tell God, you know, about your needs and your hurts and your wants and your desires. but also spiritually as well, because it's a conscious act to give him what is bothering you, to take the burden off of your back and give it to his strong shoulders. So praying in the Holy Spirit. So give the Holy Spirit everything. But watch this. When we're praying in the Holy Spirit, we're also praying back to God his desires, the Spirit's desires. Say, Jeff, how do I know what the Spirit's desires are? Well, you have to know the Spirit and what he desires. Well, where do I find that? You find it in the Bible. You don't just find it intuitively in your own heart by saying, oh, Spirit, what do you want? You don't just conjure this stuff up. It's written for us in the Bible. Isn't that great? And so God doesn't leave us, you know, without knowing how to pray in the Spirit. It says in John 4:24 that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. So it's not just what we feel in our spirit. It's not just a spiritual connection, some ethereal kind of floating out there spiritual connection with God. No, he says that we connect with spirit and in truth. So when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're praying the Spirit's desires. We're praying according to the will of God, according to what he says in the scripture, not just our own desires. Then he says in verse 21, he says, keeping yourselves in the love of God, keeping yourselves in the love of God. And that just means to not just be a person who is loving. It means a person who feels loved by God, who actually acknowledges in their head, in their mind, that God loves them. And I don't know about you, but that's something sometimes I have to remind myself about. Not just because sometimes I might doubt that. You know, when I look at myself and who I am, I just go, oh, man, how can you love me? Because I don't really think I'm that big of a deal. And so when God says he loves me, I'm like, whoa, that's news. And so I have to remind myself to receive that. And especially when I sin, to remind myself that God still loves me as much as he ever has, and Christ has already paid for that sin. So we keep ourselves in the love of God. We remind ourselves of the love of God. We surround ourselves with the love of God in our heads. We dwell on the love of God. Yeah, on the love of God, the love of a sovereign, holy, righteous God to love unworthy, undeserving sinners like me. Guess what? When we become Christians, God doesn't say, I love you now because you're worthy. No, he understands we are still intrinsically unworthy in ourselves, but Christ has made us worthy. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ's righteousness has been imputed into our account. It's been applied to our account. So when God sees us, he doesn't see our righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we become as righteous as he is. So it's an imputed righteousness that's not intrinsically our own. God has given that to us. So keep yourselves in the love of God. And then the last thing he says to waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus to eternal life. Now, wait a minute, didn't I get mercy at salvation? Yeah, you did. But what he's saying here is that we are waiting for the mercy, and that mercy is the coming of Jesus Christ at the rapture. And the Bible tells us in Titus, the book of Titus, in chapter 2, listen to this. I love this. In Titus 2 and verse 13, he says this, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to be looking for the blessed hope for the rapture. 1 John 3 says this. It says, see what a great love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it doesn't know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as what we shall be. Hey, something in the future is going to happen to change us. He says, we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we'll see him just as he is. And then he says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So one way that we are to protect ourselves from false teaching is to keep looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, to have our hope in him, not our hope in some teacher. So build yourself up in the faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, and anxiously await the coming of Jesus Christ at the rapture. All these commands, by the way, are in the second person plural in the book of Jude, meaning that we are to experience these things together in the body of Christ, not just an individual thing, but corporately in the body. Oh my gosh. That's all I have time for today. Hey, thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast, and thanks for defending the faith.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.